Yeah,
Accession number 27804, Squadron Leader Ian Blair, Reel 4. Now, we're talking about...
Pay.
And moving on from that a bit, how did you... You know, did you have enough money at all to go to... Was there a canteen? Was there anything?
Yeah, we had a normal naffy.
What was a naffy canteen like? What did it offer you as a young lad? Oh,
it offered the usual facilities. Teas, tin award, chocolate. You could have egg and chips at night and things like that. You know, if you really were hard up or very hungry.
I mean, it was obviously a dry canteen.
Oh, well, yeah, it was only for... We were boys, you see. We weren't allowed any serious...
Were there any games in there or anything
no
like that?
No smoking. We weren't allowed to smoke. Yeah, there was the usual snooker and... I think there was snooker. Yeah, I'm sure there was. But we didn't have much time for that, really. Even only just at the weekends, perhaps.
Now, how did you get on with the lads? I mean, you know, what sort of background were they from? I mean, you were Scottish, some of them
presumably were. There were all sorts. There was Welshmen. It was Geordies. Very difficult initially to get the language. And there were lots from... There were a few from Cockneys. There were correct, and there were some quite posh guys. There was one guy there whose father was an air commodore, I believe. I think his name was Littlewood, Little Stick, we used to call him. But it didn't matter. We only had one guy who didn't toe the line in terms of cleanliness. And a flight sergeant took us aside and said, "Here's some carbolic soap. Get him in the bath and scrub him." Or was that a thing? So we did. The boy corporal and got this guy and gave him a good old scrubbing. Didn't happen after that. That was the end of
was
it.
Was there any bullying at all?
Oh, there was one or two. No, I don't think so. No, I never had any bullying per se. Not that I know. No, I don't think so. A few differences of opinion on occasion, and the cure was you and you, Jim, boxing gloves on, and the belted heat picture, which was the flight sergeant supervised this. He was a great guy because it kept it. I don't know
I'll
how
come the back to him. Did you get into any of these?
No, I couldn't. A few strong words with a few people, but nothing.
Did you make friends largely with the people from your area, or did you make friends across the lot? You know, Welsh, Geordies.
When you say my area, you mean from Scotland?
From Scotland or from Glasgow? You know, I mean,
In other words, I can't remember where the guy. There was one guy. I was reasonably friendly. Chilton, I think his name was. He came from West Drayton. No, not West Drayton. Shropshire. What's the other Drayton?
Market Drayton, perhaps.
Market Drayton. Yeah,
I'm not
Shropshire.
Sure. I'm really not sure.
I think it was Shropshire, not West Drayton. Not, yeah, he was. His father was a chemist, and he was a big guy. No, but I didn't have any problems with anybody.
Now, what about the NCOs, the instructors? Well, you've talked a bit about them. Let's talk about them properly. Well, you obviously really liked your flight sergeant.
The flight sergeant that we had was really an outstanding senior NCO. After all, he had been a lieutenant in the Black Watch. I don't care what old Hatfield said, he's a warrant officer. He was one of these upper class types, you know. Obviously, he'd been in the service a few years between them, but I don't think he'd done any war service. Now, I think that's what really got old Hatfield's back up when Bannerman was on parade, because he had a string of, covered with the MC.
How come he was only a sergeant? I mean,
he'd obviously come out after World War. He'd obviously retired from the army and decided to join up. After all, as a flight sergeant, he must have been in a few years. He didn't get his flight sergeant, you know. I don't know much about his background.
What about the other instructors? What were they like?
Well, the ones I can only remember were in actual fact, I met them subsequently during... It was Creswell, Flight Sergeant Creswell. The big guy, tall guy, very fat.
What did he do?
He instructed on the bomb site and the theory of bombing.
And what was he like?
Very nice guy, very well-spoken guy. They didn't give us any trouble, you know. The
what was their attitude? I mean, was a lot of... you get this cliche idea of people shouting and swearing and bawling. Was there any of that? Because you were boys as well.
Well, I'll tell you something about shouting and swearing. One of our family, when we arrived the first couple of days, we had a lecture by the MO, and we were whisked into the squadron headquarters, all 45 of us, and the MO, complete with lantern slides, started talking about VD and the results of VD. So you could hear a pin drop. Don't forget, our guys were 16. Anyway, he went through this complete talk. It lasted about an hour.
How bad was it?
And then he said, any questions? No questions. No questions. All the slides were coloured slides, and they were really revolting slides. They're really, well, revolting vis-a-vis the fact that there were medical conditions which we at 16 and a half had never come across. Anyway, everybody went away, and there was sort of, I suppose we were all talking about it. It must have been mentioned. The next day, the MO comes round, and he apologised. He actually apologised to the 45 of us. He did not realise that we were only boys. He thought he was taking an adult entry. So that went. That was the type of approach. There wasn't any hard and fast. We sorted our own problems out.
Did you see any officers much? I mean, I'm not being rude about it. Did you have much contact with your officers?
Well, the only officers we had was the CO, who was a squadron leader, Mason. He was a rather round chap, like a Colonel Brimp type of fella, ex-flyer. And squadron and Flight Lieutenant Martin, who was his adjutant. Now, we saw them, of course, at CO's inspection. And, of course, being squadron leader rank, he wore leather. What name? Leather white. That was a box cane. But we never saw them very often, I must confess. In fact, I've got a squadron photograph with them in it. But the only guy we saw dealt with was the flight sergeant. And occasionally, the warrant officer came around and read the riot act to us in a nice sort of way.
Now, were you allowed out at all? You know, out from the camp or base?
Yeah, but it was. Yeah, we did. It was such a long way to go. We had to go to Laysdown. Oh, the only town was Sheerness. We did a visit to Sheerness. I think an organised visit, and I must confess, I enjoyed it. It took us to the Navy Yard, and they let us loose on board the HMS Hood.
That
was a great day because I don't remember whether it was. It must have been in the second 6 months. It was summer's day, and we went aboard the Hood, and it was a proper organised tour because they took us down into the gunnery room and they took us down to the magazines, and I always remember the Hood because these great big 15-inch guns, and they. The chief petty officer, I suppose, chief petty officer, was explaining to us that this great gun barrel sticking up there is 195 tons, and when it fired, it recoiled 36 inches, and there was a platform here, and he said, oh, yes, you can stand there when the gun recoiled. You wouldn't have got me standing there, but obviously it was possible, but very interesting to... Just to see all this, because that was the last we ever saw the Hood.
But you didn't get out, you know, into the town and things.
We were really on lectures at night or personal studies. Only the weekend. Some guys went out at the weekend, but I didn't bother.
Now, what about assessment? Was it continuous assessment? There were binning people who were no good as you went. Or were there exams? How did they assess you?
I think there must have been a continuous assessment. But they only got one report, a quarter. I got a quarterly report. First quarter. And, am I all right?
You're all right.
I'm just looking over. I got a quarterly report. And that was the only one, and I kept it. I found it somewhere. I don't know.
They can't see it, remember, so you'll have to tell them what it is. What were you looking for?
That was my exam papers. The actual exam paper I use. There's not much point in there.
They can't see it, remember?
No, you can't see it. That's the photograph of the course. But you were talking about the officers. They're all in the front row there if you just want to have a look at them. You can cut that out.
So that's your
This is the type of report.
And what's the sort of thing it's
put
saying?
Put my glasses on there. This was the... It's headed Royal Air Force Aircraft Apprentices Term Report. The apprentices have been scratched out and boy entrants have been put in its place. And it's RAF Forms 618.
And that's just adapted because you're new.
Yes. It says Air Armament School report on term ending December 34. Now, this was the first term, and it says Blair, it got me down as I. squad 3, boys, number 1 entry, armour UT. It says under mathematics satisfactory, science good, and general studies fair. Then it says technical, above average, and squadron discipline very good, drill very good, games average. And the remarks by the station commander, this is a group captain, Fulford, says, a very good type of boy, works hard, has been selected as one of the four leading boys, made this... I don't know what that is.
It gives us the idea.
That was the thing you got. That's the only one I managed to keep that. I was obviously sent to my parents, I think. No, it wasn't sent anywhere. But that's where I got it from, my parents. So they obviously...
Now, were people sent home, you know, if they were no good? Or was it, you know, was everybody passed?
No, we never had anybody rejected. They did their full 45 past. No, I tell a lie. I think there was one guy who went. Can't remember.
Well, what about in the second? You know, the second as the year went on. I mean, how did it go?
Well, it got. Sorry, my standby. It got very. It got more interesting because we were doing more practical work. I mean, we were getting out down around the squadrons and the workshops. And the second year, the second year was quite eventful because we had the AOC's inspection came that year.
Now, what's the Station AOC's?
Air Officer Commanding's inspection.
Now, tell me about that. What happened during his inspection?
Well, all the airmen were drawn up... On parade, full pack, best blue, you know, the lot, and the boys' squadron, i.e. us, were drawn up at the rear with full pack of all 100 of us, squadron 1 and 2, and it was the old-fashioned AOC inspection. You had the AOC, and you had the station commander, and you had the adjutant, and the station warrant officer, and the band, and you were in open order, that's to say, space between the ranks. And they went round, the AOC marched round the whole of the... It took us 2 hours to get to us. And they were going around, and they was tapping the guys on the shoulder, who had to lay the kit out. They lay on the spot, lay the kit out. Now, we knew that there are all sorts of dodges you can use to make your unit. They were all, and of course, woe betide anybody who did, who didn't. And there were a few when they laid the kit out. There was no getting away from it. They didn't have. They had all sorts of formers and all sorts of
things to kind of make you pack.
Yeah, make it look good. Oh yeah, look good. Anyway, we didn't have any of that, but we had to stand there for it with rifle. And it was hard going. That was good exercise. They were dismissed with a wave of the hand saying, well, you know, well done.
Who was the air officer commander? I don't suppose you know. Who was this visiting?
Was
it the air vice marshal?
No idea. And it was obviously Fulford, who was the station commander. No idea.
Anything else happened in that second
year? Yeah, the same year. It was towards the end.
Was it second year or second term?
We were only there 1 year. That was the punchline, actually. This year, this last second 6 months of the first year, we were doing all sorts of more practical things. We're doing more practical than we were doing classroom instruction. It's very interesting. Of course, we'd had our breaks. We went home for Christmas and home for Easter. So come the final term, on that run up to the final term, we were roped in to do some real armament work, because there were tests flying from the airfield. A new experimental dive bomber, Handley Page 52, I think it was called, and they were dropping dummy bombs in the Medway, which is only just across a few hundred, literally, and they were bombing a steel plate, armor plate, and our job was to. They had all these bombs had been delivered, all these dummy bombs, and our job was to go around and stencil the serial numbers. Never mind, I suppose that we thought it was good stuff. Great stuff. We were contributing something. And they were loading these bombs on, I suppose they had details. And that was one thing, but the ultimate was I mentioned it earlier, the passing out parade.
Now tell us about that. What was it? You know, that's a bit the culmination of it all, isn't it?
That was the end product. That was really... we had gone through all our training. We were now passing out, and our passing out inspecting officer was no less a person than Sir Philip Sassoon. Never forget that. Under Secretary of State for Air at that time. So we're on parade, all 100 of us, and it fell to my lot to be specially selected for the right marker. And when the right marker's job on parade is from the right marker on parade, that they take the time for fixing bayonets. Now you've heard it, you've probably read about it. On the command, fix bayonets. This commanders, the squadron will fix bayonets. Fix. And on the command fix, the right marker has to march out 24 paces and come to a halt in front of the squadron with a rifle at the trail. Everybody's at the standing there. And then when the commander's given bayonets, you've got to look to the left. You've got to whip this great 15-inch bayonet out. And you do it blind. You whop it out and whop it on. And hope and listen for the click, click. And you know yours is on. But then your hand goes up in the air to say that you're ready. And you listen down the line for all the clicks. And then you drop your hand and everybody. And you're back. And that was great, really. Because you're expecting somebody not to get it on. But we did. It all worked out well. So then we did the old march off.
Was this parade in front of parents and things, or was it just...
There would have been, but my parents did it up in Scotland.
Too far.
Too far, I think. Yeah, it was... Then we had a... Yeah, then we were sort of... the next phase was, of course, that we were got our postings. That was the thing, next thing.
Now, was there any choice at all as to you were going?
No. Boy Blair, Boy Brumley, Boy Snow posted to RAF Bicester. I just remember that. Sorry. Boy Blair, Boy Blair, that was just really... Oh, Snow, there's the guys, it so happened that I was reasonably friendly with them. Boy Blair, Boy Brumley and Boy Snow. Brumby came from up around Darlington or Newcastle way, and Snow came from Coventry.
Now, when was it, this passing out parade? Was that September 35, or do you see what I mean?
Oh, 35, yeah. Must have, yeah.
September?
Yeah.
It was a straight year, was it?
Oh, no, it's just a year. Yeah,
or was it August? Or was it August?
I was posted in September, so...
Now, what was your rank? You were a boy armourer.
I was... proper designation was, at that time, was Boy Entrant UT Armourer.
So still...
So then when you finished your training, you were then classified as a Boy Entrant Armourer. Not UT, you're now a Boy Entrant Armourer.
So, and this
you didn't get...
Who were you sent? You sent to RF Bicester?
I was posted to Bicester.
And was it to a squadron or just to the station?
Oh, yes. Was it to a squadron, Israel? I had the great honour of being posted to 101 Squadron, which is quite quite an interesting thing, actually.
Now, so you went to Bicester?
So I went to Bicester. We went on leave, for a week's leave, and we went to Bicester.
But it's still September 35.
I'm just going to see if I can find you the actual date.
We've looked it up now, and it's definitely September 1935. You go to 101 Squadron. Just for a month in the first instance, what was your reception like when you got there? Because you're arriving, to a new squadron. Yeah. What happens? What was your reception like?
Well, they didn't know. So I just put one point that we were distinctive in as far as we had a chocolate-coloured band round our hats, and we wore a brass propeller.
Now, what did that insignia mean?
It meant they were boy entrants, basically. The apprentices wore them as well, but they wore them higher up the shoulder. But we arrived and reported to the guardroom, and they didn't know what to do with us when we got there.
Were they not expecting you, or what would have gone wrong?
No, I don't think they were expecting us, but... Suffice to say that eventually we were given a billet. And because we were armourers, we were billeted with the armourers, obviously. So we were billeted in a barrack block on the side, on the main square of Bicester. And we reported to the... I suppose we must have reported to the adjutant subsequently.
Now, I presume this barrack block was pretty well the same as the one you
had. Oh, it's a standard H-type barrack.
So we don't need to go
through that. No, we don't need any idea. But the point was, we were in a barrack block, and I must say, I think it was... We were in 101 Squadron billet with the armourers and the workshop people. Now, in this barrack block, the corporal in charge was the corporal in IC Armoury. There were three or four LACs, three GCs, to say the least, one or two ACs, armourers, the three of us, boys, the guy across the bed opposite me was a carpenter, his name was Carpenter, but he was a carpenter, and the guy next to him was a fitter in the workshops, and the guy in the corner was a coppersmith. Great guy. He came from Birmingham. But they were all 30 plus. The guy in the corner was probably about the oldest. He must have been knocking on 40. But they made us very welcome. Really welcome. particularly the armourers. Now, the thing about the armourers, well, there was a Batchy. Bailey, he was Bill Bailey, Batchy was called. The corporal armourer, Griffin, who was my... He only died last year. I've been in touch with him all these years. He was a fitter armourer, Group 1 trade, but he was an air gunner. And Sandy Powell was an LAC 3GC. He was a fitter armourer. And there was another LAC 3GC, also a fitter armourer. But they were all air gunners. And it transpired that the flight sergeant, obviously, flight sergeant lived in the sergeant's mess. But there was a corporal Booker, air gunner. He lived out, but he worked in the armory. And there was, in fact, in the squadron, one of the pilots was a flight sergeant, Wallington, who was an ex-fitter armor. So when he wasn't flying, he was in the armory. Now, the armory, if I could describe it, is a standard, well, a single-story building, which had a classroom, brick parquet flooring, a proper built armory, with big bars on the windows. Are we still there?
Yeah.
With an office for the flight sergeant, flight sergeant armory, and this lecture room. And then at the far end, there was a couple of storehouses and a workshop where we did workshop. And round the corner was a small ammunition storage building, which was wired off. That was run by a civilian. It just held small arms ammunition. But when I got there, this... Being a multi-engine squadron, they were always looking for air crew in these days. But I was too young, so as soon as I arrived at Bicester, incidentally, all three of us, our pay went up, by the way, from 4 shillings to 7 shillings a week. Same sort of drill, we only drew 3 bob or something, and the rest of it was same procedure.
Now, what duties did they have you? I know you.
I was just going to come to that. I was. We weren't allowed to work on our own. So we had one of these senior LACs was supervised. So we were allowed to work on the aircraft under supervision. So I got the first job I got when I arrived there was. I was given a job. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
To solder the cables. A cable had broken on the front gun ring on one of the side strand aircraft. So I was given this job to go and repair this. So I was keen as mustard. Anyway, Sandy Powell, LAC, he was a IC, sorry. He took me all across the hangar and he got me the mock soldering iron that I told you about early on, and I got the cable, the extra cable and the nipples and all the other thing, and got up into the... He said, right, he said, showed me what I had to do, and he said, I'll come back and inspect it when you're finished. So I went about my business and eventually fixed it and got it done. Then Duke called, reported to Sandy, and he went back and checked it. Yeah, very satisfactory. Good, he said. Couldn't do it better myself. Words to that effect. But that was just one of the jobs. And then, of course, there was the bombing, the daily inspections on aircraft, which were routine things. And all. We didn't carry weapons in these days. We just checked for security. The important thing was that, and we did some practice bombing and stuff like that, which I'll come to in a minute.